Hello and welcome to this episode of Crop Talk. I am your host, Thad Stauffer, and joining me today, as always, are Lucas Kami, who's in charge of our Wisconsin markets, Jason Gama, who's in charge of our Illinois markets, and Tom Timko, who is everything Minnesota. Guys, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
For our listeners out here, we are recording this in early December.
December, really?
I'm sorry. Early November.
Feels like December.
Does feel like December. As most of our listeners will know, there is snow across the Midwest, and for some of us, it was kind of a struggle getting it up here yesterday. But yeah, snow packed across the Compere territory.
Hey, you could have said something like, feels like December, but it's actually November, something clever like that. No?
That would have been great, but the simple fact was I just misspoke.
So. I did just see it was like minus 11 in northern Minnesota today.
I don't live there. I'm in the southern half.
All right.
But for those who work in our timber area, that's a big, very important area. Anyway, we're getting off track. So welcome to this episode of Crop Talk, especially welcome to our listeners new and old. Today we're going to focus our time on claims. Harvest is underway, wrapped up, stalled, depending on where you're at in your state. So we have some things we're going to talk about, claims, to get you prepared for that situation. And we'll take time to talk about MFP, where we're at there. And then we'll close today's episode with some call to action on things getting ready for 2020 and making good decisions for the upcoming 2020 planting season. So guys, before we really dive into the claims piece, because I think that's where we'll spend most of our time here this episode, let's give our listeners an update on MFP, where we're at with that whole process.
Yeah, they came out with an announcement that the second round of payments for MFP 2.0 or the MFP for 2019 should be released at the end of November, beginning of December. Okay. So they got the first part back this summer. The second part's coming out shortly. The third part, we had some internal discussion about. It sounded like they're going to maybe release it in January. We've heard as late as next fall. Then I think Sonny said some things about, well, if there's a China trade deal, might not be needed. But what we do know for sure is that second round of payments should be released here at the end of the month, beginning of December.
Do you remember how much that is? I was trying to think if that was 25% of the initial amount.
I believe it was broken at 50% the first time, 25% this time.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
And even if a trade deal with China looks to be looming, and I think some of the observers of the program at the moment are still confident that a third tranche or a third payment would still be made regardless whether a deal is done or not. And that's just speculation at this point.
And that will come from the FSA office.
Correct. Yep.
And hit the accounts direct deposit.
Okay. Well, good. That good lead in there, because that's obviously important for our listeners and the producers we're dealing with as we're trying to make sure they are made whole during this trade agreement piece. So guys, let's turn our attention now to the kind of the claims piece here. As I mentioned in the opening, we've got producers that are done harvesting, producers that are still harvesting, and producers that are, in some cases, maybe getting ready to throw their hands up there going, not another situation like last year, depending on where they're at. So let's start with some of the basics from a claims perspective. What should the listeners be doing today to prepare for claims? And maybe we'll just start with the simplest, and that's submission of claims.
Correct.
Yeah, so obviously fall harvest prices have been released. They tracked decently close to what our projected prices were at the end of the day. So where we thought a lot of revenue losses would be coming our way have shrunk a little bit. With those kind of rallying prices where we landed in the fall. So there'll be a lot of guys that will land right at their guarantees, we believe. So there could be some decent claim activity as far as submission goes, but maybe not a lot of indemnities paid out to this point. Now, of course, if you've got an additional banded product, private product on top of your underlying RP, that gets your guarantee up into that 95% level coverage. That is going to obviously bring some payments this year, we believe. But on your underlying policy, looks like it might be right around your guarantee.
Jason, can you just real quick remind everyone dates when we got to get claims? Don't have to go too much in the weeds, but just kind of what we're coming up with right now?
Yeah, the takeaway before I dive into that is now is the time, right? So be looking at your guarantees, your break-evens, and if you think that there's any chance that you're going to have a loss, turn one in right now. Call your agent, get it in, get it turned in. The process of withdrawing a claim is very, very easy. Essentially, two or three mouse clicks and the claim can be closed and withdrawn, even over the phone in some cases. So go ahead, I would always tell people, go ahead and err to the side of caution and get a claim turned in. Because as the language is written in the policy, if we're talking about just a production loss, just a bushel loss, not dealing with revenue, if you've got a YP policy, you technically have 15 days after the end of the insurance period, which is ultimately when you harvest the crop, to turn a loss in. If you've got an RP policy, a revenue policy, you get a little longer tail in that you get 45 days after the price is announced to turn a timely filed notice of loss in. This year, the price was announced right on November 1st, so you'd have 45 days from then. Both of those timelines are not to exceed 60 days after the end of the insurance period, which again is the earliest of harvesting your crop, destroying the crop, putting it to another use, or a calendar date, which in our area is December 10th. So you do have time yet to turn a loss in. I would always tell people before Christmas for sure, but here yet in November would be a great time to do it.
And as guys are thinking about, I should say, as producers are thinking about that portion, let's also add one other piece to that, and that's connect with your insurance agent. Because oftentimes, as insurance agents, at least here at Compeer, one of the things we take an active role in is ensuring that we're looking at their production history, looking at their guarantees, and determining where they kind of sit in terms of a guarantee. So to Jason, your comment there about, you know, safer than sorry, trying to claim in, we also want to be a good partner with our AIPs and not just turn our book in, because we can't do that. Each claim has to be submitted individually from that perspective.
Yeah, the point I want to make is it's just different than your auto and homeowners policies, where submission of claims in some cases affects premium and rates. That's not the case here in crop insurance. So if you are on the line or close or worried about it, get one turned in. We can always withdraw it.
So I know we have a lot of claim questions and some stuff we're going to cover, and I want to throw one at Jason right away, because here in Wisconsin, it's a big deal. So we got a lot of crop standing and even a lot of bean standing. So we've been hearing the question, and I know producers have been asking me and any other agent, all right, what happens if I can't get my beans? Can you, you know, without giving everyone every detail, kind of what's the plan if they still got beans in the field and they're not getting them anytime soon because it just snowed again?
Yeah, so as it stands today, you've got until December 10th, which is the calendar date in our area of the end of the insurance period. And that date changes as you move across the country. But in our area here at Compeer Financial, Northern Illinois, Western and Southern Wisconsin, and Southern and Eastern Minnesota, December 10th is our calendar date. So what would happen today with no other steps needed is if you still have soybeans or any crop for that matter in the field on December 10th, the adjusting staff for the AIP would come out and appraise that standing crop on December 10th or thereabouts in the next few days to a week maybe. And they would work and finalize your claim based off of that field appraisal on that December 10th date.
So you're saying if I got beans standing, I'm just not getting a zero. And I can't, because I can't get them off, I'm not getting a zero.
Yeah, so it's extremely hard to actually receive a zero appraisal on any crop for that matter. Now, there are cases and situations that does exist. But if there's one bushel out there or five bushel out there per acre, the adjuster, the AIP, is going to appraise that and count that as production account against your guarantee when settling your claim.
Okay, good conversation there. Good question, Lucas. But I think that kind of begs more discussion. There still is crop in the field, whether it's the beans you referenced or corn. From that perspective, our listeners do have other options if they do want to continue to harvest after that December 10th end of insurance period. What options do we have there?
Yeah, so there's a process that the policy allows to request an extension to harvest. That's done through the AIP. That's basically saying, hey, I've got crop in the field and it's going to be in the field up until this December 10th date and beyond. I'm not going to be able to get it by December 10th. We've got a lot of snow in a lot of our areas. I'm just not going to be able to do it. What do I do then? So what I would still suggest at that point is still turn a loss in as you normally would. as we just talked about what those deadlines are, and go ahead and request an extension through the AIP. Like, literally write on your notice of loss, have your agent turn in a request to extend that harvest. It's important then, once we get into that process, how that works. Really quick, what I want to say to this point about the harvest extension is this is not a process in place to where I've got high moisture corn or high moisture beans in the field. The ground's fit to go get them, but they're really high moisture. I want to leave them in the field to dry down naturally to be able to save on drying charges. This is not a request that would suffice that scenario. If the ground's fit, you're expected to go harvest that crop up until that November 10th deadline.
Or December 10th.
Excuse me, December 10th.
Yeah. I've got December, November, we're
back and forth. And I've just done the opposite. That's awesome. Yeah. December 10th. So it has to be, I have to be delayed from harvesting due to an insurable cause of loss, like excess moisture, snow cover, those kinds of things. Failure of harvest equipment or lack of manpower to get the crop harvested, or just wanting the crop to stay in the field to dry down naturally, are not insurable causes and therefore would not warrant an extension. But essentially, when you have an insurable cause of loss that has prevented you from harvesting, and you've requested this extension and they've granted the extension, there's a couple of things that you want to keep in mind. If that extension is granted, most of the time it's going to be around that 60-day mark as far as extending past December 10th. I'm still required during that window, during that extension, to continue to harvest that crop. So continue to harvest as normal. If I get to the end of that extension and I still have crops in the field, they've given me, let's say, an extra 60 days past December 10th, but I still have crops in the field at that point, that is more of a drop-dead deadline where the AIP will come out and appraise whatever's standing at that last date of that window. So I'm supposed to continue to try to harvest as normal. If I can't, they will base the production account off of that appraisal in the field at the end of that extension window.
So what I'm hearing is the key is, from a producer standpoint, for our listeners, work with your agent, make sure you can communicating with the adjuster assigned to your claim, potential claim, and again, make every effort to harvest that crop.
Yeah, and one last comment I'll make is, it's a little confusing, but RMA is, if that extension is granted, RMA is not really extending the date, the December 10th date. They're not moving that back. They're literally giving you, the individual farmer, on a case-by-case basis, an extension to harvest. And what you may be asking, what's the deal there? Why would you say it that way? If they just merely moved back the actual date in the provisions, then that date, that extension would be open to everybody in the entire area. And then folks could leave the crop in the field by the policy, if that were the case, and be open it up and more susceptible to further damage. So instead of opening up this blanket extension, they are doing it on a case-by-case, farmer-by-farmer basis to just control that amount of exposure that's out there.
Okay, makes sense. Guys, any follow-up questions to that, or are you clear as mud?
No, I really like having a claims guy in this room because it really helps a lot. I appreciate that, Jason.
I've just found if you talk with authority, people will listen whether you're right or wrong.
No, the key is, and you're right, Lucas, it's glad to have the resources, and we're lucky to have this resource internally. For our listeners out there that don't have, you know, direct access to Jason and his background, again, I can't stress enough, contact your agent and let him or her work with you and the adjuster to make sure each situation is addressed individually. So let's take the situation now where crop has been harvested. Tom, I know you recently finished up harvest your area. Producers should be thinking about what as they're getting ready for either reporting production or potential claim.
Yeah, number one, I think we mentioned it earlier, make sure that you contact your agent, get a claim turned in. Number two, as a producer, I just went through this process here not too long ago. I have losses on my soybeans, and so I called my agent. They turned in a claim, and I said, you know what, he can come out and measure my bends because I have it all bend stored. So the adjuster came out, measured the bends, and then a couple weeks later when I got time, I put my load records together for him. In this case, load records can be keeping track of your wagon loads, semi loads, your average, you know, bushels you haul on them. In my case, I had grain cart records as far as weight that we write down. Some might have the automatic one where you hit the button and it records everything. In our case, we write them down. So I just put them all together and I just emailed them off to the adjuster. So now pretty much I have everything he needs to complete my claim.
So a couple things come to mind as follow-up questions, and more maybe statements for our listeners. You mentioned the grain cart as a load record. Combine monitor would work the same way if you had those records.
Yep.
Something for our listeners that you may want to take advantage of, whether it's this year or coming year, is what we call the kind of the precision piece, right? If you've got all that stuff and the equipment's been calibrated, whether that's the cart or the combine, may be able to use that for not just reporting production, but also the claims process. Tom, in your example there, everything was stored in a bin. What about if I take everything to town?
In that case, it typically makes it more convenient. All I do is get a copy of the assembly sheets. This is a personal thing of mine, not settlement sheets. Assembly sheets, it shows each load that was brought in. Settlement sheets sometimes are by sold contracts. It's just not consistent. All I have to do is get that and label which, two things. I can label each load that came from which field or which unit, rather. Or I can still use that as my total measured production and break that apart again with my load records, whatever those may be. Again, in my case, it was grain cart measurements, weights. Some might be the monitor, printable monitor records. So whatever, you have a lot of good options out there, but you know exactly what got harvested.
So in that example there, not diving too deep, but you had the adjuster come out and measure bins and you provided the grain cart records. High level, what's the adjuster going to do with that information?
I've got the grain cart records by crop insurance unit. And all he's going to do is, I've got 30,000 bushels of beans, for example, and all he's going to use my records for is allocate beans to each unit.
Yep.
How many beans came from each unit.
So those truckload records can't be a standalone record by themselves, unless you're going down that precision route that Thad had laid out prior. But they're going to be used in conjunction with the actual third-party sold production to break out that total production by unit.
Correct.
But let's go to the other side of it, right? And this is probably more impactful for our listeners today, and that is the situation where crops harvested, all pretty clean, moisture was decent, test weights were decent, no quality issues, but we know because of the wet spring, in some cases wet summer, and parts of the Compere territory actually a dry summer, all those things do create situations where our producers will have quality issues, high moisture corn, high moisture beans still in the fields, whatever that case is, test weight. Let's dive in here a little bit and kind of talk about those things we would call issues, challenges, quality challenge. I mean, let's kind of dive in for our listeners that whole segment of challenges that our listeners will have.
Yeah, I'll take this. So as you guys are looking at quality, there's kind of three main areas, four main areas that jump out at you when we talk about quality. And those are test weight issues, moisture, kernel damage, and toxins. We'll talk about those four here briefly. So on the test weight side of things, crop insurance doesn't start kicking in for a low test weight until you get below 49 pounds. When we're talking about moisture, the crop insurance adjuster is going to dry down moisture to 15% on corn and 13% on beans. They're going to use a 1.2 factor, which a lot of elevators are not using 1.2 as their factor. So there are some differences between the net production, net bushels, dry bushels that the elevator comes up with and what the adjuster is going to come up with. That's always going to be the case.
So let me jump in there, Jason. I think that's a really important point, because when you're reporting your production, whether to your agent or you're calculating a claim, you will have a difference between what the crop insurance industry standard is compared to the elevator.
Yeah, so RMA standardizes that moisture dry down method. We can argue whether it's right or wrong, but it is what it is. So they have to use the 1.2 factor, whereas elevators are not standardized. So elevators get to set that threshold where they see fit, and they've got a myriad of, is that even a word? Myriad?
How about a lot?
They have a lot of different things to think about when they set that dry down factor.
Okay, good. So that's not the only issue, right?
So that's test weight and moisture, and then you've got damage and kernel damage, and that's where a lot of things get thrown into this kernel damage bucket. Mold, sprout, white mold, cob rot, you name it. All those things ultimately show up at the elevator as kernel damage. And once that kernel damage gets over 10%, according to the policy, that's when crop insurance will start kicking in some deductions and reductions for kernel damage. So we'll get a lot of calls this time of year that this guy's got white mold, and this guy's got cob rot, and this guy's got sprout, and what are the different procedures for each of those? The answer is there isn't a different procedure. It all kind of shows up as kernel damage at the elevator. Now, I will say, if those issues are bad enough where harvesting them doesn't make sense, then obviously still turn a loss in through your agent. The adjuster will come out and assess that damage and ultimately do a field inspection or a field appraisal and account for those really bad deductions and quality issues. And in those cases, there is a process in place for you to zero that crop out and ultimately destroy it. But prior to that, ultimately, most of the time, you're going to need two different letters of rejections from two different elevators, as well as the AIP has a route of salvage buyers that they can run bad crop through. If all of those fail, then they do have an ability to come out and zero that crop out, and then which you have to destroy the crop.
So my takeaway there, Jason, to those comments are a couple things. One is, if you're not going to harvest the crop, you cannot destroy without consent of the adjuster.
Correct. Right,
for the AIP, so that's important. And two, if it's anything other than just a normal harvest, stop, call your agent, ask questions so we can get a claim turned in, because if there's toxins or low test weight or mold, we've heard a lot of issues out there with a lot of dirty crops. It's best that the adjuster's aware of it. They can document that up front. Otherwise, if you don't tell them, then they assume you harvested, there was no issues.
Yeah, that's correct. And you mentioned toxins. We could spend an entire day talking about the different mycotoxins that exist. They mainly show up in two forms, aflatoxin and vomitoxin. Can get really into the weeds. All I'll say is this. If we start to get down a path where aflatoxin is starting to get noticed, just remember that those samples have to be pulled by the adjuster out of the field. If it gets into vomitoxin, those can be taken out of a bin. But either way, those are kind of very specific issues that do creep up from time to time. Get the adjuster involved right away through your agent, turn in a claim in. They're the experts. They're the ones that know all of those rules.
So I just want to say, you know, that vomitoxin in the corn specifically in southern Wisconsin has been popping up, and a lot of elevators are testing for it. So definitely be aware. That's what we're hearing. Not to say it doesn't exist, haven't heard of any aflatoxin, but vomitoxin, we had it last year, dealing with it in some places this year. And I know you don't want to get into the weeds, Jason, but just because a crop has vomitoxin doesn't mean there's going to be a payable claim off the bat, right?
No, there's still limits and still thresholds that have to be met with both of the toxins. One thing that has bit us in the past that I would love to just share as kind of a word of caution is there's also some rules around how fast a sample, or how soon a sample, let's say, has to be tested by an actual federal grader, licensed federal grader. We've had cases in the past where a producer delivers corn to the elevator. Elevator is doing their testing. They see one of these toxins. They've sent it to their grader, which in some cases is not a licensed federal grader. So we're eating up days at that point, all to then dock the insured quite a bit due to one of these toxins. And then the insured is left going, wait, what did you dock for? Well, we found these toxins, whether it be vomitoxin, aflatoxin, we docked you for that. But it wasn't done through a federal licensed grader. So then the crop insurance adjuster jumps into the mix and tries to get that sample and send it to an actual federal grader so that they can start to adjust for those issues. And there is a four-day window for that test to be done. And so a lot of cases we've been burnt in the past where the elevator's kind of done it on their own, not really telling anyone, and then we're out past that 4 days. So then in that case specifically, the client is out.
I know we feel like a broken record, but just another reason to plug that if an issue comes up or you hear about a toxin, just call your agent, get the claim open so we can get moving so we don't run up against those 4 days, or have a better chance of not running up against those 4 days.
So with the snow that's on the ground right now, a lot of our territory, in a lot of cases we're not doing any field work at all or harvest work. Why don't we point the listeners to some resources we have internally that they could kind of watch some videos. Where can they find some of that information?
Yeah, if the customers want to go to compeer.com, and right on the front page right now is the crop insurance webinar series. And if you click on the words, not the picture, you'll get the pop-up that'll go through everything that we've recorded. A lot of them are claims related now that are out there for producers to listen to.
And that latest one would be actually delayed harvest.
Yep, so we Jason just did a recording on that one that will cover all those things, a lot of stuff we just talked about. But if you need more time to go back through it and see what is going to affect you, then you can go back and watch those videos.
So we talked about the harvest extension. Did we talk about the 180-day extension?
Yeah, so not to confuse extensions in the world of extensions, but transitioning away from kind of harvest extensions, which we've covered in depth here in this podcast, there's another extension that exists, and this is available every year through the crop insurance policy, is if you've got grain stored in the bin or farm stored, and the adjuster comes out and is wanting to settle the claim off of that measured production out of the bin or crib or wherever that crop is at, you can actually request up to 180 days past the end of the insurance period, so past the date of harvest, you can request out to 180 days, basically saying, I don't want my claim worked off of that bin measurement. I want it worked off of sold production or delivered production or as much as possible at that point. So you can actually extend and delay the settlement of your claim up to 180 days so that the adjuster can work that more off of sold production versus farm stored.
Good. Thanks, guys. Hey, listeners, we kind of wrap up this discussion here today. And again, thank you, listeners, for hanging with us here. And hopefully we've shared some information that's valuable to your operation. Looking ahead in the next coming weeks, speaking of adding value, Compeer will be hosting a number of Grain Vantage meetings, 2 to 3 locations per state that we're located in, starting December 2nd and going through December. Guys, what was that date? 11th, 12th, something like that?
The 11th.
11th, December 2nd through the 11th. You'll be able to find Grain Vantage meetings in your backyard to take advantage of some opportunities to get some updates from an economic standpoint, as well as from a crop insurance standpoint. We'll be having a brief presentation from crop insurance standpoint. And you may think it's December. It's really not too early to start thinking about your risk management plans for 2020. Here at Compeer, we've invested some of our resources into bringing state-of-the-art tools and software to you to help with that risk management decision. And so we're excited to have that release coming up here in December. So take advantage. If you haven't signed up now, check in with your insurance officer or your financial officer and look for those dates.
I kind of want to steal some of your thunder.
Go for it.
I think it's a good thing that as we go forward, I just said as we took a break here about all the claims issues that we've had, and they just keep, seems like it's never ending. And our fearless leader Thad here has talked about just looking forward. So I think as you look to make decisions this year about your crop insurance, they're going to be very important, but try not to dwell on all the things that have happened and just look forward about what decisions you need to make for next year, not what happened last year.
And on that, let's end, because I feel like I should run through a wall now. So good points to keep in mind again. So please rate this podcast. Give us a good review. Leave some comments. Don't forget to subscribe to get the notifications when these new ones pop up. And again, 5.0 is always the best score you can get. We look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks.